Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Not even gonna plug anything because I want to get right into my first topic of the day. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the show Funny to Informing with John and Chris. I mean, you guys should know who they are. They're also nominated for the best podcast not on the radio for the Best of Orlando Weekly competition. Just to let you know, the voting is already done. But if you'd like to check out my website, you still can, Tuttle.net. Now, so I was on their show, and you know me. I've worked with some radio shows where everything is on the table. Like, we always go at each other. You know, we always have this understanding. You know, like, for example, when I worked with Bubba, we would always use the wrestling terms, a work or a shoot. A work means, hey, we're working, we're playing around. Do not take anything that I say personal. So what I'm trying to say is I wasn't shooting on Chris or John from Funny to Informing. So I was on their show, not the last episode they did, but the episode before I was on. And I made a joke about Chris leaving, and I was like, oh, hey, maybe me and you can work together, John. And it didn't work out too well. It did not go over well at all. But I could explain everything. I'm not going to, because I pulled the audio of the show. And I respect John and Chris, but come on, man. Like, seriously, why did you not bring the heat while I was there, but you waited until the show after? They also, you know, Chris kind of said he, you know, had to put me in my place. I don't know. I'm kind of paraphrasing there. But I'm going to get right into this audio, and I would like to hear from you and get your thoughts. Should I be upset about this? You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two Ds. tuddle@gmail.com, or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044.
We do have to clear some stuff up.
Yes,
from
we got some
the
air
last
to clear.
Episode.
Thank God we're sitting outside, because yeah. There's much air to be cleared.
Oh, boy. I mean,
thanks, Tuttle.
Yeah. We have to explain
love you, buddy.
That. And, I mean, because kind of pertaining to it, we did get an email.
I'll admit, I even do it. And I'm not saying that John and Chris from Funny Informing did this. But a lot of podcasters, a lot of radio people, they like to segue things. They like to have a reason to be able to talk about stuff. And I kind of call it into question that they really did get an email. Because it almost sounds like they kind of like, all right, so we're going to write an email from your uncle or your cousin, your family member, whatever it may be, to be able to say, oh, this will be a great reason for us to bring it up, to make it seem like we're not just bitter, we're not angry, we don't think Tuttle is an asshole, but we just want to clear the air because we're outside.
From like,
oh, yes, okay. That's completely separate, above and beyond. Maybe we should get that out of the way. And then maybe address last week's show, or I don't know what order you want to
do. Yeah, because it's related to what we're going to be talking about anyway.
Okay,
and it's
well
a,
then.
My Uncle Vinny was checking in. Uncle Vincent, my Uncle Vinny.
Your cousin Vinny checked in? Did he start the email with, hello, the two utes?
What's a ute?
What's a ute?
What in good
what
God
is you
ute?
All?
First off, let me state by saying, my cousin Vinny was one of my favorite movies of all time. It is such an underrated comedy. Hell, A lot of people don't even realize this. Do you realize hardly ever does it happen, does somebody win an Oscar in a comedy film? And Marissa Tomei, my fucking God, was she tremendously hot in that movie. But her and Joe Pesci had the greatest chemistry, and I love the judge. Not a lot of people realize this. The judge was the father on the TV show The Monsters. But I really don't know how many of your audience, you know, because I could be wrong. If I was to guess, you guys have a little bit of a younger audience. Maybe not that stereotypical radio, that golden 25 to 54 male audience that you're looking for. Get the reference. I could be wrong. Maybe everybody is laughing out loud, and maybe my show is the one that sucks. And I'm not saying Funny to Informing sucks. Just throwing it out there, people.
Wait, you literally have an uncle named Vinny?
Vincent.
Vincent.
Yeah.
Do you call him Vinny or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Uncle Vincent. And he's from back home up north?
Yeah.
He's a Philly guy. He's a hoagie wah wah.
I haven't seen him in a few years. I guess he's listening to the show.
Thanks for checking in, Uncle Vinny.
Yeah,
I hope you're not offended if I call you Uncle Vinny.
No.
If you are, send another email and tell me to shut up.
He definitely doesn't care.
funny2informing@gmail.com.
Because he kind of, I think he's reacting to the end of 184, which was the last episode we did.
He says, which was also the end of the show.
Yeah, it says, say it ain't so. Is Coleman really moving to Nashville, home of that redneck music?
Yes, and yes.
I hope that you can keep the podcast going.
No, it's done.
So this is where all the backhanded comments, passive-aggressive bullshit. Maybe I'm just being sensitive. I'm not trying to play the dead dad card or my mom having a tumor that's supposed to be ripped out of her chin, or not her chin, but her jaw. And I'm not playing that. Maybe I'm just being a little sensitive. But that's why I would like to hear from you. That's why I give out my voicemail and email account. Because if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I am more than willing to admit when I'm wrong, because maybe I am just being too sensitive, but I would like to hear from you. Do you think this was a shot across the bow kind of at me? Because, like, I mean, this would have been better radio, in my opinion, or what do you call podcasting? It's podcasting. Better radio podcasting. If this discussion would have happened when I was there, because that back and forth, that engagement would have been some amazing content for their podcast.
I've been looking for an in to say that and let you know. I mean, I haven't known for very long, but I definitely was looking for the right moment to say it. And we don't see each other that much. We like once a week at the show, really, is because of work and
pretty much
and you know peeing in cups to get work and getting a social security card for work.
I respect these guys. I like John and Chris. I do. But I also wanted to play this because I have an image. I have a brand that I have to uphold, because I think I'm doing a really, really good job at what I'm doing. But I'm also glad that I'm kind of doing the show by myself. But it is a double-edged sword. It is so difficult to do a daily podcast Monday through Friday. You guys also need to remember, for about 6 months there, I did the show every single goddamn day by myself. Yes, I do use audio as a crutch. But that's also something that I learned while working with Bubba. Bubba was one of the first radio hosts that I ever worked for that would use audio. And it does make better. Like, I could read news stories all day long, and it's just not as great, or it's not as good as being able to play a piece of audio, because I work in an audio format. But that's why I'm glad that I do the show by myself, because I can do it every single day. I can't even imagine how it is coordinating between two people and their schedules to be able to do as many shows that I do.
You know, just whatever, just life, like we said. and my job, and we both were on vacation. And anyway, yeah, so I was looking for the end to bring that up, and I had to get it done, and I was like, my intent was not to do it on the show, but then as I got closer to the recording, I was like, fuck it, I'm doing it on the show. And I didn't necessarily want to do that with a guest on the show.
Just to let you know, the show that they do, it is not streamed live. It is not done live. It is recorded just like my show is every single day, besides the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream that I do on youtube.com/Tuttle. But if this was something that you were worried about and you didn't want to do it with a guest recording with you, you guys could have waited. Like, you could have, like, pre-planned. You could have been like, hey, John, we're going to have Tuttle on. We're going to have him on. We're going to get him out of here. And then after that, I need to record a quick segment with you. Because if that was something that you were really, really worried about, and if you were so upset about what I said, then you just could have edited it out. But you guys left it in there, so it must have not have been that bad.
But also, it couldn't wait any longer. And I was fuck it, I'm shoehorning this in here. And I think part of what I called the Tuttle argument, if anybody listened to the last, 20 minutes of that show.
That little Tuttle tussle.
The little Tuttle tussle, the dust up or whatever, where I kind of had to step over Tuttle and tell him to, you know, please stop or whatever. It was because I came into that.
Let me stop you there. It was not a dust up. It was not a tussle. Because I respect you guys. I consider you friends. And I apologize. I said, sorry. I let it go. Because for the most part, if that would have been anybody else that I did not consider my friend, you're not going to look. I'll admit, physically, Chris is way bigger than me. He would probably most likely beat the absolute piss out of me. But not a lot of people are going to win a war of words with me. So I let it go. I backed away. I did not push anybody's buttons. Once I knew what I did upset them, I took a step back and let them do their thing.
Imagining the worst reaction from you, like you would be upset and think that everything was shutting down and shit, and that it was the end of the show, and for Tuttle to literally, first thing out of his mouth be, that's the end of the show. I'll do the show with you, John. I don't know, dude. It just rubbed me the wrong way, and I felt a weird way about it. And I couldn't not fucking say something. So he kept harping, and I had to...
Did not harp at all. Once Chris, I saw that, you know, they got a little upset about it. Once again, I consider them friends. I respect them. I think for them not working in radio and only doing podcasting, I think that they are good at what they do. I mean, they're obviously good at what they do because they are in the same category for Best of Podcasts Not on the Radio in the Orlando Weekly Best of yearly competition that they have. So I'm not saying anything bad about their abilities. I think they're funny. I highly enjoy their show. And Chris talked about it rubbing him the wrong way. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way that you guys would wait until the next episode, not even let me know that you guys talked about me. And I don't know, that's the thing about it. Like, if I talked about those guys, I would let them know. They didn't let me know that they had talked about me, that they were as upset as they seem that they are about the comment that I made, and it wasn't even really that bad. I think John is extremely talented. You want me to be honest? John would be an amazing producer on a terrestrial radio show, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, the guy is brilliant when it comes to the quality of his editing, the quality of the audio that he puts out there. And it was just a joke. Like, seriously. That is all that it was. And I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were going to do that. And like I said, this is a recorded show. You could have easily let me go, could have re-recorded and edited me, not edited me out, but edited that comment out and just did the announcement without me.
Kind of just stop him in that moment.
Sorry, Chris, but you didn't stop me. Like, I did that out of respect to you. Like, I stepped back. Like I said, I'm being 200%. This is me shooting. If this was anybody else, somebody that I did not respect, I would have laid into the person for what they'd said and kind of how they treated me. But I didn't do that. I stepped back because I saw that this was an important moment and I did not know any better. And I apologize for that. If that upset you guys, I apologize. But you also got to understand the type of radio that I have done for the most of my career, and you just let it rip. You let it rip. Let the big dog eat.
Yeah, well, because I do the same thing, like, mentally, whenever
right.
I'm thinking...
I thought the worst.
Regardless of the scenario, yeah, like...
I prepared for the worst.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, but the thing that bothered me was, well, because we ran kind of long, so we didn't have a lot of time, so
right.
we did, like, squeeze it in at the
right.
end of that show.
Right.
Once again, you guys are acting like this is a terrestrial radio show. Like, you have a time slot. Like, mornings is 6 to 10, middays is, like, 10 to 3... Because, well, for the most part, and then 3 to 7 is afternoon drive, then 7 until 11 is your nighttime show host. I mean, why did you guys act like you are on some type of time constraint? Then, like, you have to take a commercial break. It's not like, oh, we got to get off the air because the next show behind us is about to come on. Once again, you could have edited all of this stuff out. I'm just saying. And once again, I feel bad for what I did. I consider John and Chris great friends. Here, I'll tell you this. Dude, I ended up doing the last time that John and Chris came over to the Hobo Fish Camp to record, we already had plans. John's car was broke down. You know what I did? I drove all the way to Orlando to pick him up, bring him over to the fish camp. Once we got done recording, I brought him all the way back. Oh, and that's the other thing. We ended up recording 3 shows that day. Well, technically not 3 shows, but we did 3 shows. But we were only allowed to use 2 of them because the first one we did, the recording did not record. Did I get mad? Nope. Guess what I did? We just went about business. Hop back into it and re-recorded the show.
But
and I also felt like he was trying to also kind of get more stories in, and I kind of had to shoehorn myself in to say that at the end. Like, oh, also, did you hear?
Yeah, right.
I'm saying it, you know? Like,
and
yeah.
I mean, if I were in Tuttle's position and I'm on somebody else's show and the two hosts have a conversation about something that's like really
that
like
serious?
Life-altering.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
I would look to them for their reactions and let them have the
engage
discussion.
Engage that, right.
I wouldn't make it about me or my reaction.
All right, for one, I didn't even know that this was something that Chris was mentioning to John for the first time. I didn't even know. I thought this might have already been, like, pre-planned. Hey, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about me leaving to go to Nashville. You know, you talked about, oh, you were debating about talking about it or not. I mean, how was I supposed to know? And I really, really don't understand it. Maybe it is because I've worked with a lot of big-time radio shows that put everything on the line, and it was basically the motto was, fuck your feelings. It was whatever is best for the show to make it as entertaining as possible.
Absolutely.
And I felt like Tuttle kind of did that. He didn't give
me a
chance.
That's why Tuttle's
a
radio star and we're not, John.
Yeah, right.
Look, I've had the absolute worst things in the world said to me during my radio career. Do you guys realize how many pictures of ceiling fans I had sent to me after I tried to commit suicide by hanging myself from a ceiling fan. I can't even count the amount of them. I can go back through my timeline and start sharing all of those. So I don't get offended. I really, really do not get offended at all. But I don't know. I think that comment, more than anything, kind of rubbed me the wrong way by calling me the radio superstar or radio star. I think that was such a backhanded, bitch-ass comment to make, in my opinion. You know what? The one thing you can say about me is I took my shot. I had no intentions in getting into radio. I just heard Ron and Fez, Ron and Ron was one of my favorite radio shows of all time, and I didn't realize that they were broadcasting out of Daytona Beach. And the only reason I got an internship, because, hell, it was easy college credit, and I would be getting college credit to hang out with two of my favorite people that I listened on the radio. So by no means do I consider myself a radio superstar. Fuck, I've been out of terrestrial radio for the longest that I have ever been in my career, and I did not appreciate that comment one bit at all.
No, but again, I'm not mad at Tuttle in the least. You know, I was rubbed the wrong way in the moment. I don't know if I handled it correctly or not. I still haven't decided if that was the right way to handle it.
I mean, I could be wrong. But I think I was the one that handled it. I can tell that the joke, the comment that I made, I could tell them. They explained earlier, they said, oh, somebody that couldn't read the room. I dropped it immediately once Chris said something about it. And I respect Chris. And Chris, and I'm not going to get in to the other situation, but to show you how much I respect Chris, I ended up texting him, and I'm not gonna get into why I texted him, but this is how much I respect Chris, because, you know, like, I got invited to an Orlando City match, and I'm not gonna go into it any further. But there were some circumstances about me going to the Orlando City match. And I even texted him. And I told him, I said, hey, is it a problem? And that's all I'm going to go into. So if I did not respect John or Chris, because they're kind of making it like seem that I disrespected their show, I didn't read the room, I was just trying to be the radio superstar that I am, because I am. You know what? If I'm going to be called a radio superstar, I'm going to be like, hell yeah, I am. I am a radio superstar. But Chris knows what I'm talking about. And I texted him out of respect because he is my friend. And I enjoy what they do. I respect their work ethic. I respect the content that they're putting out. I don't know. I you know what? If I'm being honest, I find it a little bullshit that you would wait until the next show and comment about what happened.
But I did what I needed to do in the moment to kind of try to put things back on the right path. And it sucked because at the end of it all, you got no say in it. Tuttle got the whole say and then got me stepping over him to tell him to quit having say for the most part. So now that it's been said and it's been a little, we've had a week away from it. What are your thoughts on it?
Not to beat a dead horse, but once again, this is a recorded show. If John felt like I disrespected him, which I apologize for, John, if I disrespected you in any way, but if you guys weren't happy with the way that the whole announcement went on, you could have easily, after I left, sat back down, recorded it, and edited that part out. I'm just saying. That is how it worked. This is not like it was real radio, not real radio, the station, but like terrestrial type radio where it's live and you can't go back and edit that unless you have a dump button, but you can only get rid of so much time. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there to give you a little bit of the behind the scenes, how radio and podcasting work. Not to them, to my audience, my supporters.
Right, because I thought the whole
you
point
never
of
got
you,
to address it.
Yeah, the whole point of you bringing it up, I thought, was for my reaction, and
right.
I really didn't get to have one.
I have nothing but love for John and Chris from Funny to Informing, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I was debating. I asked everybody that I knew. I asked people in the business. Should I even, even touch on this topic? And the more and more I thought about it, there was a way that I could be able to talk about it. And if they get upset about my rebuttal, then I'm sorry, guys. I love you. I'm always going to be your friend. But, you guys need to get a little bit of a thicker skin when it comes to things, and I apologize. I am so sorry that I messed up a special moment. You also got to remember, I am shot out of a cannon. I always go for the uncomfortable joke. It's just the way that I am. Hell, if you want me to be honest, it's probably why I've ruined a lot of my radio career, a lot of my personal relationships in my life, but that's just the way that I am. I don't want anybody to think that I have an ego at all, because I don't, but say what you want. I'm good at what I do, because if I wasn't good at what I do, I wouldn't have worked with some of the biggest radio shows that I've ever been in Central Florida. And I didn't even want to play this audio. But they also briefly touched on how I did not promote the show that I appeared on. And I still have the text messages. I told them, I was like, yes, hell yeah, I will promote it. Because John and Chris from Funny to Informing asked me, hey, we're going to be posting the show that you were on. Can you promote it for us? So I was like, hell yeah, just let me know. Send me the links. Tag me. I could be wrong. I'll go back through my timeline, but I never got tagged in anything. I never got a text. Hey, we finally posted the show. And I'm not one of those radio hosts or podcasting hosts that can't admit when he's wrong. If I didn't get the text, or they did tag me and I didn't promote it, then I was the dick. I was. But I did. I said, yes, I would promote it. I just said, let me know when it's ready to go, and I would. They gave me a rash and a shit because I didn't promote the show that I was on. I got a lot of stuff going on, guys. I'm taking my mom to doctor's appointments every single day to get this goddamn tumor out of her jaw. You know, I'm having to be around my mom 24/7. Because she is so fucking depressed because my dad died. They've been married for 49 fucking years. And my mom always, you know, when after the 49, she was like, we just need to make it to 50. Let's make it to 50. That is a milestone that not a lot of people make it to. So, yeah, I got a lot on my mind. So if you did tag me or you did text me and I didn't do it, I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose. But you also got to understand that I'm going through a lot of stuff. But check out their podcast. The name of their podcast is Funny to Informing. Once again, that is Funny to Informing. And if you didn't hear it again, it's Funny to Informing. They got a great podcast, Funny to Informing, that you should check out, which is Funny to Informing. Because it's a great show that I think you guys would all love, because I'm a subscriber of Funny to Informing. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. I'm going to be talking to my friend Brandon. I've had him on the show before. I got a couple of stories that I want to talk about. One being about the spitting cobra that was loose up north in a community. As well as one of my former co-workers that I worked with. trying to grab a rattlesnake by its tail. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's, Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
I'm going to get right into my first story of the day. I apologize for going long in the first segment, but I want to get into this. I've talked a lot about the invasive species that are in the state of Florida, and I really do think more needs to be done. More permits, more laws need to be made because of all these irresponsible assholes that buy these exotic-ass pets because they're wanting to be cool. But up in North Carolina, they had something called a zebra cobra that was on the loose in one North Carolina community.
I felt like the animal was going to be captured. I am surprised it was captured this quickly.
By the way, real quickly, while I was working at Real Radio 104.1, one of the biggest stories that happened in the city of Orlando was a guy that had a black cobra was on the loose in the Windermere area as I could remember. But I know that it was in Orlando, and this guy got in all sorts of trouble.
In the hours after experts safely captured this zebra cobra that had Northwest Raleigh on high alert, Phil Bradley debriefed the team who brought the slithering saga to a close.
In this case, they used and utilized glue traps.
I've talked about the rat problem, the mouse problem, mice problem that I have had at the Hobo Fish Camp. And I got to tell you, there in no way do I think that mice, which are the prey of snakes, are smarter than their predator. But come on, the glue traps that I've always used, I have never, ever caught a rat, a mouse, whatever it may be, on a glue trap. I did one time catch a possum on one, but come on. You caught a cobra in a glue trap?
Which might sound to the average person strange, even potentially inhumane, but it actually was a very smart method of acquiring this animal.
I love all animals. I really, really do. But come on. Why are we even worried about inhumane? I mean, it's not the snake's fault that it's in an area that it's not supposed to be in. But, I mean, you got to get rid of it. Because if you don't get rid of it, I mean, you're going to have the issues that you're having down in South Florida in the Everglades with all the pythons.
The head of reptiles and amphibians for the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences says once restrained, the team cut away the excess glue trap, applying mineral oil to release the snake from the board. The African spitting cobra, he says, is now with an agent of the state as the city of Raleigh decides its next legal move. The snake's owner, Christopher Gifford, lives blocks from where the cobra was captured, his family refusing to comment.
I'm sorry. This guy, this complete asshole, needs to go to jail. He needs to serve time. Did he release the cobra on its own? I mean, who knows? But it probably just got out of the cage because I'm not trying to stereotype, but I would figure that most snake handlers are potheads. He probably forgot to lock the cage and it got out. It is the same thing as a daycare worker leaving a child in a car and then that kid dying from overheating. That kid died from being turned into a human baked potato. All those people go to jail. to why shouldn't this asshole go to jail as well?
Nearly 500,000 people follow Gifford on the social media site TikTok, where he's posted hundreds of videos of himself handling venomous snakes in and outside his house.
I think the biggest rule is that these animals must be in secure, locked containers. That way, escapes don't happen.
No shit, buddy. Thanks for stating the obvious. Like, what? I mean, snakes are not like a dog that you can just take outside, put on a leash, take it for a walk. You know, you'll be walking down the sidewalk and just the random person will be like, oh my God, you have such a cute zebra snake. What's its name? As the cobra is spitting venom right into your eye.
Bradley walking us through Article 55 of North Carolina law on venomous reptiles. Among the strict guidelines, owners must also identify the species as well as antivenin required. Keep a bite and escape plan on hand, and if an animal does escape, the owner must notify law enforcement immediately.
I know this is not a, well, it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I mean, everybody wants to talk about gun owners. I know that there has been a lot of mass shootings, so I'm not trying to compare a poisonous, deadly snake to a gun, but if we're going to have gun permitters, people that obey the law, get a concealed carry permit, get their guns licensed, this is why this whole shit, you know, everybody wants gun laws. They want to take people's guns away from them, which I do agree that there needs to be laws, but come on, criminals, idiots, white trash, motherfuckers do not obey the law. So what's the use? This snake is just as deadly as a firearm. Might not be able to kill as many people, but it can.
In this case, a 911 caller first reported seeing the snake outside a home on the same street where it was caught 2 days later. Bradley says human safety is paramount, but he hopes this case doesn't further stigmatize responsible owners of venomous animals.
There are a number of ethical venomous keepers in this state. You will likely never hear about them because they don't post their animals or what they do with them on social media. They're not looking for attention. They just truly love the species.
Anyways, I want to get into the next piece of audio. I talked about Trace, who is a co-host on Clusterfuck Radio. If you just go on Twitch and search Cluster F or search Cluster F, it could be Clusterfuck. It'll show up. Just search Clusterfuck, Cluster F in Google, Twitch, include that keyword. You'll easily be able to find it. But Trace used to work with me on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, and I came across his account this weekend, and he came across a rattlesnake in the middle of the road. It looked like it had just got done raining, and I'm like, come on, dude, you just got married, you got kids, why? I know why you would do it, because I, if I'm being honest, I would probably do the same thing. Because I have nothing to lose. Trace has too much to risk. He's got a brand new wife and he's got two kids. Me, I have nobody. So if I get taken out by a rattlesnake, who gives a fuck?
Save it. I'm gonna get it off the road.
Now, I know this is only audio. If you just search Trace Waters, you'll be able to find him on Facebook, follow him. You'll be able to see the video. He's also on TikTok. Just search Trace Hogan. But this idiot walks up to a rattlesnake. And please, don't take offense to saying idiot. But you walked up and you grabbed a rattlesnake by its tail. Do you realize that a rattlesnake can almost strike over half of his body length? And they are quick as fuck. And you're just going to go up and grab it by its tail? You got more balls than I do, Trace. So even though Trace just had a close call where that snake tried to take a hack out of him, he goes and gets a stick, which is way, way smarter, and he gets this rattlesnake off the road. And the reason I'm playing this clip is because you can actually hear the rattles on the rattlesnake very, very distinctively.
Come on, I'm trying to save you, little snake. Woo! He's a feisty one. He's feisty.
I gotta admit, Trace has been putting some great content out online. So if you want to follow him on TikTok, just search Trace Hogan. Search Trace Waters on Facebook. And if you want to check out the show that he is on, just search Clusterfuck or Cluster F on Twitch. Gonna take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. I'm gonna have an interview with my good friend Brandon, who is a herpetologist. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
By the way, I hate that new voice that speaks beforehand. Anyways, we are already recording. I got my good friend Brandon on because I just talked about a story, and we'll get into that here in a few seconds. Plus, my former coworker that I worked with at my former radio station posted a video when it comes to snakes. But I've had Brandon on before. Brandon, how are you, man? I don't mean to ramble.
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me back on.
So from what I remember, you're a pretty big hockey fan, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Now, St. Louis Blues. St. Louis Blues, correct?
Yeah.
Now,
first round this year.
Now, I cannot remember, because you got to remember, I've done a lot of dumb shit on the radio, so I kind of probably have CTE and a lot of concussions and stuff like that. But didn't, when the Lightning had one of the best NHL seasons, didn't the Blues knock them out in the first round?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot.
I know my producer did. I already knew the question. I just wanted to see if you would brag about it. If I'm just being honest.
You know, lived in Florida, I like Tampa Bay also. But I did tell my friend who's a big Montreal fan that I would root for them in the playoffs this year. I'll be happy with whatever outcome. So.
Isn't it weird that a city in Tampa, or I mean a city in Florida, has become one of the biggest hockey towns in the country?
Maybe. I don't know. Arizona's got a team and California's got teams. And even Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So geography doesn't matter anymore.
Brandon, before we get into the interview, tell people a little bit about yourself. You work with animals, mainly reptiles. Am I correct by saying that?
Yeah, pretty much exclusively reptiles at this point. So.
Now, tell people a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Well, right now I work as a herpetologist at a zoo here in New Mexico. I'm also a distance master's student at the University of Florida. So I'm keeping the Florida connection going.
I did not know that. You know, I'm the biggest Gators fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you know it's funny. Well, not funny. Yeah, my dad just passed away a little over a month ago, and our biggest, most favorite thing was watching Florida Gators football and stuff. And it just I love everything about because my dad grew up in the Gainesville area. And I've already been reaching out because I was thinking about where I wanted to spread my dad's ashes. And I think Florida Field, because I was always like thinking, I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to watch a Gators game anymore because it's going to make me feel bad because my dad's not here. And I was like, oh, well, if I spread his ashes on the field, I'd be like, every time I watch a game, I'm like, hey, there's dad.
I wonder how many other people have done that.
Oh, they've done it. No, they allow people to do it, though, Brandon. Yeah. But I want to go over the top when I do it. I want to go to the game and actually jump out of the stands and do it during a game.
Go streaking and then do it.
Well, I don't know if my I don't know if I want to get my dad's ashes on my penis. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. So the story that I talked about earlier, it was about the, and I didn't even know this snake even existed. They called it a zebra snake, but now is it a cobra?
Yeah, and that's one of the common names for this particular species is the zebra spitting cobra. It's formerly a subspecies of the black-necked spitting cobra, but it is a full species now. And they are highly venomous and, you know, probably not a pet for the average person.
Now, let me ask you, with this spitting snakes, I know, like, what, I don't know what it's like to get bitten, but I would suspect that getting bitten and instead of getting spit on is much worse. Like when a cobra or something like that spits, they go directly for the eyes. How do they know to go for the eyes?
It's evolution. I mean, they've adapted to defend themselves against predators, and you know, it's a very effective defense in the wild. A large carnivore is attacking you, just go for the eyes and it blinds them, and then it gives you a chance to escape.
Now, will it kill you, though? Can you die from getting venom spit in your eyes?
It's not going to kill you. It could potentially blind you. You could have permanent eye damage. In the zoo field, when we work with them, we take a lot of precautions. And
Have you ever worked with one?
Actually, right now, I don't have this particular species. I have the black-necked spitting cobra and the red spitting cobra that I work with at the zoo right now.
Will it make your skin break out? Like, can you get, like, can it absorb into your skin, or does it need to hit an orifice, like the eyeballs, the nose, the ears, or anything like that?
It needs to hit a mucous membrane or get into the bloodstream. So if it just lands on your skin, you can wash it off real quick and you'll be fine. But if you have a cut, then there's a potential risk.
Now, all right. So I want to talk about how, especially here in Florida, the invasive species that we have, you know, everybody knows about the boa constrictors in South Florida. Before I get into the laws and everything that go behind it, what is your feelings? Because I know you like to protect reptiles. Reptiles, you love them. You do. Because you also think that they're misunderstood, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, do you agree with them killing the boas that are being that are in the Everglades and the damage that they're doing to the natural ecosystem?
Yeah, you know, it's an unfortunate, just reality of the situation. And it's actually Burmese pythons down there in the Everglades and Indian pythons that are the issue.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal. there's really no controlling the situation at this point.
Is it really too far gone? They'll never be able to get it done.
It's not likely that they're going to get it done. I hate to be a complete pessimist about it, but it's a huge area and they're breeding prolifically.
How fast? What is the gestation on those?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw you a curveball there.
Oh, you know, you're good. I don't remember the gestation, but they can lay an enormous amount of eggs at a time, and they're born fairly large for a snake. So, I mean, they're born ready to start consuming native mammals and frogs.
Like small things stuff. Like fish and stuff like that?
They're an animal that'll pretty much eat anything they can capture. I'm sure everybody's seen the videos of them eating alligators when they're full grown. They eat deer.
Now, they bite off sometimes more than they can chew, though, right? Because I remember that picture of the one python that ate the alligator, I think, down there, and the stomach actually burst, from what I recall.
Yeah, it's... yeah, sometimes they do get in a little over their head. But, I mean, it's a serious issue. I mean, there's protected species down there, and American crocodiles are at risk when they're younger. And unfortunately, I think the only answer is to, you know, euthanize the animals.
Can they be relocated, though? Like, can they? Or are some of them too big and too dangerous? And the only way you can, like, subdue them is by killing
them? Well, relocation, I mean, this is an animal from Southeast Asia. You know, it would imagine the cost for a...
Yeah.
Transporting all these, plus you never know what kind of diseases and parasites you're transporting from Florida back to their native range that could potentially cause harm over there. And other people propose, you know, putting them into the pet industry, and I suppose you could give that a shot, but these are wild animals. You know, they're not the captive bred and born snakes that you buy at the pet shop. These are, you know, aggressive.
That's why we're in this situation, though, isn't it? Like, now, we might have talked about this the last time that we spoke, and I had to on the show, but is the Burmese python problem in South Florida because of Hurricane Andrew? Because I've always said Hurricane Andrew was the cause, or is it just irresponsible pet owners just releasing them into the wild?
I don't know that we can trace it back to one particular thing, it's definitely people releasing pets is a problem. And it's so common in Florida. I mean, there's not just the harmful, snakes that you hear about. I mean, tegu lizards are a huge problem for native wildlife.
Iguanas down here too.
Yeah, the iguanas. And there's rock agamas and Cuban tree frogs. I mean, there's so many invasive reptiles and amphibians in Florida. And really, the only answer is euthanasia. And as sad as that is for a reptile lover to say, there's not really an alternative.
Now, Brandon, what are some of the laws? Like, do you have to have permits? Do you have to have some type of training? I know, like, you can make all the laws in the world, but sometimes criminals, that's why they're criminals. They don't abide by laws. But say if I wanted to get a poisonous snake, because we had a problem here in Orlando. I don't know if you remember the story about the cobra that got lost in the Orlando area that they were searching for a couple of weeks.
I do remember that. Actually, I've met the guy that that owned that snake. Yeah, it was a bad situation.
But what are the laws? What are the permits do you need? Like, what type of training? Can you give me an example, a little background on that?
Well, it's going to vary from state to state. Florida's pretty strict on theirs for good reason. I mean, as we've already talked about, everything can become established in Florida pretty much. So they're pretty strict about who gets to keep exotic animals. I think I never did the permitting process when I lived in Florida. I work with animals in the zoo situation, so I never really felt the need to have a bunch of venomous snakes at home. But I think you have to have 1,000 documented hours working with venomous snakes, and it's the same with crocodilians. I think you had to keep track of 1,000 hours, and somebody that already has a permit has to sign off on your hours, so they keep track of it. And you have to have all your paperwork in order. And as far as, keeping of the snakes, you have to have them in a secure facility. You need to have locks on all of your cages.
What about insurance?
I'm not really sure about the insurance rules. It's going to be challenging if you tell your insurance agent that you have venomous.
But yeah. Hey, what kind of policy can I get on a black mamba? Like, I can only imagine
what the payment, monthly payment would be on a payout on an insurance policy for a black mamba or something.
Yeah.
Probably like a couple of like a grand a month just to be able to cover your ass in case your black mamba gets out of the cage and goes out and kills somebody. Yeah, I can see that.
I've never really thought about it, but yeah, it's got to be tough to find those insurance policies to begin with.
So now in the story that I played about the zebra cobra, they caught it because of glue traps. Have you ever heard of a snake being caught because of glue traps?
Yeah, it's usually not on purpose. It's pretty common for snakes to just wander in and get stuck to the traps that are set out for rodents, and I've had to rescue a few of them off of those, and lizards and other things, and it's not very easy, so it's pretty dangerous. So I wouldn't want to do it with a highly venomous cobra. But yeah, basically, like they said in the story, you can just use the mineral oil or petroleum jelly and something like that, and you can work them off. But with a venomous snake, that's really sketchy. I wouldn't want to do it.
Especially spitting cobra as well too.
Yeah, you have to be wearing your
goggles.
Protection. Yeah, I use now, a full face shield when I work my cobra.
Oh, you do now. Yeah. Now, do they have like a lotion or like could you put Vaseline on your skin and stuff to kind of protect you a little bit? Or like I don't even know if they have that. I could just be talking out of my mind by that statement.
To protect you from the venom or
from the spitting of it. You know, just it getting sprayed around and stuff.
Yeah, like I said, if it just gets on your skin, it's not an issue. You can wash it off. It's just the mucous membranes that you want to protect.
If you encounter one of these snakes and you do get spit on your skin, how long will the venom be potent on your skin? Because you don't want to like rub your eyes or anything like that, correct?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure the how long it's potent, but you want to wash it off as quickly as possible. I mean,
all right.
Yeah, it's too much of a risk to leave there. Because I mean, yeah, you will wipe your eyes eventually.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time my mom made some Spanish food. And my parents didn't tell me at a younger age, but my mom was cutting up a bunch of hot chilies and jalapenos and stuff. And this might have been before I was born. Who knows? But my dad was taking a shower and got in the shower with my mom got in the shower with him. And, you know, one thing led to another. He touched certain parts. And let's say, you know, it didn't feel too good on the private area, if you know what I mean. But I wanted to get into the next topic I want to talk about. My friend Trace, that I used to work with on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, who is now on Clusterfuck Radio. Just search Clusterfuck on Twitch. You can watch their show. It starts at 8 a.m. every single morning. But I showed you the video of him coming across your stereotypical rattlesnake here in the state of Florida. Just wanted to get your thoughts because I sent you the video and wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I love that he wanted to help the snake and get it off the road. It was a big, beautiful Eastern Diamondback rattlesnake.
How big do you think he was, if you had to guess?
It wasn't a huge one. They can get pretty big. They're the largest venomous snake in North America, or in the United States. And, that one was probably on the 3.5 foot, maybe a little bit bigger. It's hard to tell.
But he was fat. He looked like he just got done eating or something.
But those guys can get up, you know, over 4.5, 5 feet long, bigger in some cases.
What's the biggest rattlesnake you've ever seen?
It's probably one of the Western Diamondbacks we've caught out here on a film set. I also do consulting for the film industry.
See?
And we've caught some really big Western Diamondbacks out here. It's probably I think it was 4.5 feet.
Wow. Let's see. Now do the rattlesnakes, like, you know, they talk about pit vipers. They hunt through heat, correct?
Yeah, they have heat-sensitive pits on their snout. So you'll see they have nostrils. And then in addition to the nostril, they have an actual, like a deep hole in their, in the side of their face where they have the, they, you know, they have those heat sensitive pits.
Now, if you covered yourself in like cold mud, like in the Predator movie, do you remember the Predator movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah. Where he had the mud on him, like if you had like cold mud on your body, like could you just walk up to a snake and it wouldn't see you?
Well, they're not stupid, and they also have eyes. So
okay, why? Well, just a question. That
I know.
I'm sorry. It was just a question I had. All right. So, so what you think my friend Trace did was a good thing, but you would not recommend grabbing a rattlesnake by its tail with your bare hand.
No, don't do that. carry a stick with you if you think you're going to encounter something like that. Or if you see a snake on the road, if you have time, you know, there's not cars coming, look on the side of the road. You can probably find something to use.
I always help the tortoises get across the roads.
Yeah, that's noble. I mean, I think there are rules protecting.
Oh, you know, you're not even supposed to touch them, I think.
Right, yeah. It's kind of one of those things. I mean, if you know what you're doing, I'm not saying do it because it's against the law, but yeah, most people I recommend with tortoises, just, you know, what I've always done is just, you know, I put my car to where they're, I'm protecting them with my car.
Okay, so
I'm not even going to recommend that thing, because you can get hurt doing that too. Do what you can.
All right. So you've done the movie stuff before. Now, I wanted to always ask you this question. In Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones, were those real snakes? Have you ever found out? I mean, I know that it was way before both of our times, you know, but like, I mean, were those real snakes?
They had some real snakes, and they also had legless lizards. That's one of the things that always bugged me about that. They have it's a European legless lizard, what they call a Sheltopusik. If you look closely, they have ears and everything. So just to fill in the space between all the snakes, they just put a whole bunch of these lizards in there.
All right. So final question before I let you go, and I'm going to let you plug everything that you want to. What is the one reptile that you've never worked with that you want to work with?
Well, I'm a huge fan of crocodilians of all kinds. I've worked with quite a few of them, but one of my favorites is the black caiman, South America. Mm-hmm. They're just really cool, unique crocodilians, and hopefully someday I'll get to work with one.
Well, I mean, I always hear about Cuban crocodiles. Is there any difference in that?
Cuban crocodiles are awesome. They're one of the more terrestrial crocodiles, and they can get some speed. So they've got a really good gallop, and they can chase down prey on land. And if you get in their way, they can chase you down pretty good too. So,
what's the one reptile that makes you nervous out of all the reptiles?
Good question. I was pretty apprehensive about working with mambas. Have you? Yeah, I actually work with a black mamba right now, and I've gotten pretty used to working with him. He's actually pretty.
Are they as quick as everybody says they are?
They are very quick, and the one that I work with, it's not particularly aggressive, but it does have a pretty good food response. So if I open that door and she thinks I'm feeding her, she'll be out in a flash.
Live feeding or no live feeding?
Everything I feed is frozen thawed. It's just, you know, generally more humane. And every now and then there are some specimens that just won't eat something that's frozen thawed. And unfortunately, you might have to either do a fresh kill rodent or even a live rodent. But for the most part.
But aren't you taking a chance of the snake getting hurt, though, during live feedings as well, too?
Yeah, if you end up having to do a live feeding, you need to supervise it. It's a common mistake. You know, with people keeping it, you know, snakes at home, they'll just throw a rat in there and just leave it, and ends up injuring the snake. So,
yeah. Now, Brandon, before we go, tell people how they can check you out. Tell people the floor is yours. Tell people how they can follow you on any social media and stuff. plug any of your businesses or any of your charities or fundraisers for reptiles or anything like that?
Well, for social media, you can just search my name. There aren't very many Brandon Barrasas. I think there's one other that I've seen on there.
What is that last name from? Is that? It sounds Louisiana type almost.
Well, it is French, so there you go. So it could be a good Cajun name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's from France. My family's French and Potawatomi. So,
but tell people how they can check you out.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter, all the social medias. I have a TikTok too. I'm not really very good. I'm not a very good TikToker.
Me neither. No, I feel like the creepy old guy when I'm posting on TikTok. I mainly use TikTok to find great sound bites and stuff for my show.
Yeah. And as you know, as far as charities, I recommend checking out a lot of good conservation ones. The Turtle Survival Alliance, if you like turtles, they do a lot of great work. Rockfest is a biannual event that we do in Florida. So all of your local listeners down there can help out and raise some money for croc conservation. We just had Summer Croc Fest down there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend, but they did raise $107,000 at Zoo Tampa for crocodilian conservation, which is amazing.
Did you ever meet Jack Hanna?
I've never actually met him. I know a lot of people that know him, but never met him directly, no.
Yeah. Who was the big name over at the Tampa Zoo? Like the one that everybody's like, oh my God, he's here.
There was a big name in Tampa? I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know people from Tampa, but yeah, I don't know any celebrities from the Tampa Zoo.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, because I like to network. I always look through my contacts on a regular basis. And when I came about that story up in North Carolina with the zebra cobra, I was like, oh, I got to get this gives me a reason to be able to have my good friend Brandon, who is one of the most knowledgeable people I know when it comes about reptiles.
Shucks. Don't flatter me.
Well, Brandon, I hope you have a wonderful night, and I appreciate your time, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Tuttle.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to PayPal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.